The following podcast is a production of the Logan Park Neighborhood Association.
If it's too good to be true, it most likely is. And when you're dealing with real estate and investments, you're dealing with sharks. You're dealing with people that will slap you on the back with one hand and pick your pocket with the other. And they'll do it up and down the block as long as they're allowed to, because that's how they make their living. And that's all they focus their effort on.
Logan Park Neighborhood Association wants to find ways to improve our neighborhood so that everyone's quality of life in Logan Park is better. Northeast real estate trends have changed over the years, and I wanted to talk to a real estate professional about the trends that we are seeing in Northeast Logan Park. And so my conversation today is with Tony Lipa, and he is with Northeast Realty. Tony, tell me, how long have you been in the real estate business?
Well, I started back in 2002. I acquired my certified real estate appraisal license. So I started off as an appraiser and decided to extend that business into sales just because of the fact that I was already working in real estate and had a knowledge base of real estate valuation that continued on to a family history strong in Northeast Minneapolis roots. So it was just a natural progression to extend into sales. And I think I started that maybe in 2004, 15 plus years deep.
Plus you live, you're a resident of Logan Park.
I've ridden the wave.
Okay, that's an interesting thought. You've ridden the wave. So that means that there's been a lot of changes. So tell me a little bit about the changes in real estate in Northeast Minneapolis.
Well, let's go back 15 and let's start with the severe rapid rise of no documentation loans. That was kind of the start of the epic storm that we would call it, that we have all kind of survived through. I'll give you an example. I purchased my grandmother's duplex in 2004 from my grandmother's estate for $175,000. Within 2 years, the tax rate or city assessed value went to $285,000. So that's the assessed rate versus market value, which will typically be two different numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You have your market rate, which you would sell your property for a fair price on the open market. And then you have your tax rate, of which the city assesses your taxes at, or county taxes. So within 2 years, that went to $285,000. And then 2 years after that, I would say 2009 to 2010, I believe my assessed value went to $85,000. So it 100 up and dropped 200 like a brick.
And that was rare. I mean, it seems like
that's what happened all over the city.
Okay, in 2008.
2008 was the start of the decline. The high point of the market was 2006, 2007.
The crash?
2010, 11, 12, 13.
That was the crash.
That's when probably one out of four sales were foreclosures.
Okay, so somewhere then beyond that to today, in 2020, we're seeing some pretty high property values. What's attributing to that? It's hard to buy a house in Northeast today. Why?
Well, it's hard to buy a house right now, I think, all over the country. Supply and demand, there's a limited inventory. Interest rates are low. The cost of money is cheap. The difference today versus 2004, 5, 6 is that they were doing stated income, no documentation loans. So if I walked into TCF and I told them I made $400,000 a year, I would sign a mortgage agreement based upon that number and they would finance that. You could buy a home at a 125% loan-to-value ratio, meaning that if the house was $100,000, the bank would borrow you an extra $25,000 to buy the home to make improvements with zero money down. So then if you have a young couple who bought their first house and the market crashes and they put up zero funds out of their pocket versus, let's say, a typical 20% down or 10% down payment purchase price loan, you know, they have no skin in the game, so what's to say why not just walk away?
Northeast has been a very hot real estate market. I think the average, or you can buy a home for probably the lowest price, is probably $300,000. It goes up from there. So what advice do you give to young homeowners about selecting somebody who can help them navigate some of these pitfalls or problems within the market? How do you pick a good real estate broker?
Well, I believe I helped 6 first-time home buyers in 2019 purchase properties, their first home, and some of them bought single-family houses for $175,000, and a few of them were up to $350,000. And it's interesting how these, I call them kids, the younger kids are coming in and they have a lot of questions. And when you sell a home to a first-time home buyer, typically it's usually a three-sale transaction where you show the property to the kids, and then you show it to his parents, and then you show it to her parents, and you got to sell it to all three of them.
Okay.
Because they're getting advice from their parents. They're putting their faith and trust in me, but ultimately they're getting outside advice from not a real estate professional. And I always tell them, I say, you know, there's a lot of realtors out there. There's a lot of them that aren't very good. And interview a few. Have a cup of coffee. Find someone that's a fit. And I tell them right up front, I might not be the guy for you. You might not like the way I talk about things. And I said, you have now an honest realtor. I don't care if I sell you the first house we look at or the 100th house we look at. I want to sell you the right house. Because at that point, I don't want you to call me in 6 months and say, you didn't tell me about the bad neighbors across the alley. We're moving. And, you know, you screwed up. Well, that can happen. But at the same time, I want the people to be happy with the home that they're purchasing, make a knowledgeable, educated decision, and get strong financial advice from a good lender and strong real estate advice from a qualified real estate expert.
So I would think that someone like yourself, Tony, that lives within a neighborhood, and you kind of specialize in Northeast, isn't that a better kind of real estate broker than, say, somebody that works for a huge corporation that sells property all over the state? I mean, I would think that that would make more sense.
Well, the big trend right now in 2020, you're seeing what is called the iBuyer.
iBuyer.
Internet buyer. And I don't believe in the trendy aspect of real estate. I believe in the traditional aspect of real estate. And if you see lots of advertisements by the team, this is the XYZ team of Forest Lake, and this is the ZBX team of Plymouth. And now you're dealing with a head person who has a staff of real estate people that work under their team. And I'm not a fan of that approach. I believe in the fact that when you're hiring me to be your realtor, you are working with me. I'm the one showing you houses. I'm the one listing your home. I'm the one who answers the phone when you call. I'm not passing you along to a newbie agent that just signed up to be part of a team who lacks the experience and the knowledge base to walk you through step by step of the transaction. And obviously, if you speak with somebody that runs a large real estate team, they're going to spin their aspect of it and sell you on the way they do things.
Well, there is a trend, and I don't know how legitimate they are, but we buy ugly houses, or we give you a guaranteed offer on your house within 2 weeks or whatever it is. It seems to me that that's just a lot of spin.
Well, Larry, I have a bridge for sale.
I bet you do.
How much do you believe in that? We'll break that up in two. We buy ugly houses. We are here to make money off of you, okay? And we don't care about you. We don't care about your family. I do a lot of estate transactions for older people that grew up with my grandparents, whose family is now calling me to help them sell their home because grandma is going into the nursing home. She needs every nickel that she can possibly get to sustain her through her last remaining years. Okay. If you take that property and you know it's a fixer-upper and a moneymaker and investor special, let's call it. If you put that on the market, you're opening that sale up to every investor out there. If you call We Buy Ugly Houses, that's one person that's going to come in, and that's a franchise. So you get one franchisee that's going to come in and they're going to say, we'll pay you 60 cents on the dollar and we'll close quick. Well, if the house is worth 100 grand fixed up, it's worth 175,000 and you just sold it for 60. You left $40,000 on the table that was for grandma. We Buy Ugly Houses doesn't care about grandma. I do. And I've went through this scenario in this neighborhood where you take that same fixer-upper and let's say you put it on the market, you market it as a fixer-upper, an equity builder, and John and Joe Smith, who just moved up from Sheboygan, Iowa, I don't even know if that's a real town in Iowa.
It probably is.
But they just graduated from the U of M and they have their first jobs out of college and they're looking for an equity builder. And he's kind of handy and she likes the garden. You sell that house to that couple for $125,000 on the market after multiple offers because we know there's potential in there for it to be a $175,000 house. Well, that's all of a sudden now a $60,000, $70,000 swing that grandma gets versus the quick sale. And at the other point, just to carry on that question, is we have the guaranteed offer aspect of it. And right now you're seeing the big national corporation of iBuyers. So what you're getting there is you're getting an instant offer from a conglomerate like Zillow or Redfin, and they're paying you cash, $180,000 for your $225,000 house, and they put new carpet and paint everything gray, and they put the house back on the market 6 weeks later for $260,000.
Okay.
And that's where your guaranteed offer is coming from. And I have a big problem with this because these are agents that are signing an agreement with their client as a fiduciary responsibility to look out for their client's best interest. And at that point, what are they doing? Is your client's best interest an instant offer from a huge company? Or is their best interest selling the home for the most amount of money that you feel as a real estate expert you can get for them? So it's kind of how we started the conversation where I have a bridge for sale.
Yeah.
You know, if it's too good to be true, it most likely is. And when you're dealing with real estate and investments, you're dealing with sharks. You're dealing with people that will slap you on the back with one hand and pick your pocket with the other. And they'll do it up and down the block as long as they're allowed to, because that's how they make their living and that's all they focus their effort on.
I love the idea of working with companies or real estate companies that are local, that are in your community or within your section of town, because I think it's just a better relationship. You're building a relationship with somebody who is going to help you either buy or sell your property. That just makes a whole lot of sense to me. And that's the way that communities like Logan Park were years and years ago. You went to the local store, you went to the local hardware, there was no Targets, there were no Walmarts. And so to me, it makes sense to go to somebody like yourself. Tony, you have some data there that talks about the Northeast real estate trends. Where is it from and what is it saying?
You know, this is a publication that the Minneapolis area of Realtors puts out, and it's broken down throughout the entire 7-county metro area. And it just gives you a schematic of the average sales price from 2018 to 2019. And just a list of information that buyers can use to see kind of where we've been, where we're going, and kind of what's happening. So in 2018, there was 575 listings for the month of November. And in 2019, there was 548 listings. So would you say it's a seller's market?
Okay.
So there's more buyers than there are sellers. So you're seeing that played out, you know, in real world effect of the total number of active listings. When you list a house, you get multiple showings on it, you know, the first day, 2-3 days, period. And I tell my sellers that if it's not sold in 3 days, we overpriced it. You know, that's a fact. The amount of activity and traction that the new listings get is consistent. And at that point, in 2018, the average home sales price is $262,000. With 2019, it was $277,000. Homes are selling for more money than they were a year ago. There's less homes available than there were a year ago. So the overall inventory is lower. More buyers, shooting prices up.
So does that mean if I put my house on the market, let's just use a figure of $300,000. I mean, is there a bidding war that goes on most of these houses?
Typically, the average days on market last year of 2018 was 27, 2019 was 31.
Okay, so it's basically the same.
So,
within a day.
And that kind of goes back to where I was referencing that if it doesn't sell in the first 3 days, we overpriced it. Okay, so typically, if it's priced right, you'll get 20 to 30 showings on it, and you might get 2 or 3 or 4 offers. You know, you pick the best one. That's where your guidance comes in for a knowledgeable realtor, and move on to the sale.
If it is a seller's market, is that one of the reasons we have so many developers developing more of these high multi-unit apartments or condos around the area? Because we're seeing them everywhere. You must see them. What is behind that trend?
Larry, you and I both know that we can't walk our dog down the block without seeing a new development going up. They're everywhere. One of the websites I do like to follow is the Development Tracker of Minneapolis. And I did pull a couple new projects coming up. Mixed use project planned for Northeast Arts District located at 1200 Central Avenue. It's 119 market rate apartments, 3,000 square feet of industrial space, and 1,800 square feet of commercial space. That will be market rate. And market rate means money. Money, money, money. And that's what these developers are here for. They're here to make money. It's the close proximity of Northeast Minneapolis, okay? We're a $7 Uber ride to downtown. And there's another one that is coming up here, affordable apartments. And that's the key term, affordable. So you have a subsidized market development that's going in on 2435 Marshall Street, right across the street from the fancy Betty Danger.
Oh, sure.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I know exactly
Ferris
what you're talking
wheel.
Sure.
Shiny and bright.
Yep.
And that's going to be a mixed income apartment building that the city is supposedly pushing for, more affordable subsidized rent. Because right now, these new market rate units are $1,500 to $1,700 for a one bedroom. Realistically, that's a $350,000 house. But at the same time, they're here, it's growing, and it's not stopping. Whether you like it or not, Northeast is hot and the rents are high, and that brings in big pockets with big banks and big construction projects.
So you not only sell property, but you do appraisals, and you do it all through Northeast Realty, correct?
Well, I have my own appraisal business that's completely separate from Northeast Realty.
Okay.
Okay. That I do through from my own company, Tony Leap Appraisal Services.
Okay. So if somebody wants to sell their house and they want to get an appraisal, they'd call Tony Leap Appraisal Services.
And what's funny is I get that call all the time. I want to sell my house. I need an appraisal.
Okay.
And I tell them, do you need an appraisal or do you want an appraisal? And they ask me, what's the difference? I said, well, any realtor can come out and give you a comparative market analysis of which they will do for free. If they try to charge you for it, that's not how it works. Comparative market analysis, you can use that to price your home for selling it.
And that's just comparing to other sales
Correct.
In the neighborhood.
Or you can hire me to do an appraisal of which I'll charge you a fee, okay? And you can use that as well. Otherwise, you need an appraisal for an estate purpose. Or you need an appraisal for eminent domain, or you need an appraisal to do tax appeal. So I would say 8 out of 10 calls I get, they don't need an appraisal. I throw my real estate salesman hat on and I save them $400 or $500 or $600, whatever it would be for the appraisal fee. And I say, you don't need an appraisal. You just need to know what your house is worth. I can do that for you. This is who I am. I'm Tony Leapa with Northeast Realty. I'm also an appraiser, and I can provide you with a market analysis that will help you appropriately price your home for sale. And that's what you need.
What's your website or phone number?
You can reach me at tony@tonylipa.com. That's TonyLipa.com. Otherwise, directly at 612-275-4660.
More podcasts coming in the future will keep you connected to Logan Park neighborhood.